And to present to you the 2014 State of the University Address, it is my distinct pleasure to present to you the President of the University of West Florida, Dr. Judy Benz.
Thank you very much. Thank you for coming. Thank you, Easton. It's wonderful to hear our son of one of my good friends and the associate provost, who is a freshman at our university majoring in music performance, to hear you. Both my grandparents went to Juilliard School of Music majoring in piano, and my nephew went to Berklee College majoring in guitar, and is a starving artist in New York City, tending bar and making music. So I appreciate that. There's nothing quite like the piano. And I know the proud parents couldn't be prouder. So the purpose of this speech, in the traditional sense, is to identify and highlight the accomplishments from the previous year, and to identify for you the goals and our objectives for the coming year. But I think today I want to provide a little bit of a broader context for these goals and objectives. We have been through very difficult times. And in this last year, another difficulty was thrust on us, whether we like it or not. The new normal is not friendly to the University of West Florida. So the successes of the faculty and the staff and the students that you are about to see have been done despite these oppressive times for UWF and Northwest Florida. It is not new that we have difficult times, but it is not to be forgotten as you listen to them. And the people who are at the helm that make the hard decisions and back us up are our Board of Trustees, of which we have four here today. And I'd like them to stand up, which they don't want to do, but stand up and be recognized. First, our Chairman, Lewis Baer. Then we have Trustee Lou Timothy May. And the trustee that needs an office on campus, he's here so much, Jay Patel. And the trustee that represents your faculty senate, Richard Huff. Thank you for coming and being with us today. I've been president of the University of West Florida during the worst economic times in our history. Started out in July of 2008. First it was the recession, and now it's performance-based funding, which has a punitive element to it financially. We have lost 30% of our state appropriation on which we base our salaries, because it is recurring, or at least it used to be. We now have annual threats to our base funding. I have had to make, and all of our staff have had to make, serious and difficult choices during these past 6 years. The first cut was made by my predecessor, President Kavanaugh. He cut across the board. I didn't do that. When I came on board, I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make strategic cuts. I eliminated vacant faculty and staff lines. There were no people in them. There were a lot of them, but we had a lot of money we had to cut. We outsourced only one thing, which are our groundskeepers. We let them go, and we outsourced it, and we save over $100,000 a year because of that. I did not lay off any faculty or staff. I did not cut programs. We cut specializations within programs that did not eliminate faculty. Today, our mission is threatened. We provide access to real people like me. I was not a straight-A student. I was a good, solid B+, A-, and I was a finisher because I had to study. We are not opening our doors only to the academically talented. The flagships do that, and they do a darn good job of it. We don't. We take in real people. We create the middle class from people like me, who had parents who were dairy farmers who went broke and had to go work in town, and had three kids to support and put through college, and we are doing just fine because of our college education. In order not to lay off faculty or staff, I grew enrollment. I made a conscious choice because we needed the money. It has been said and thought by many that we lowered the admission standards to let in more freshmen. That is not true. What we did do was take within our admission standards the lower bracket of students who met our admission standards but weren't in the top 75%. They needed more remediation. So we had a summer bridge program for them, that if they needed two remediation courses, they had to go into the summer program and they had to make at least a C in those remedial courses and one college course, or they wouldn't be admitted. So we didn't do it blindly. I didn't throw open the doors to any dog and cat wandering by, any warm body that could get financial aid and pay tuition. I need to say that more. I'm going to keep saying it for a while, because that's what we really did. And I want to remind you that I chose UWF. I chose it in 1980. It was my last stop on a troubled tour of Research Ones that has a culture that is not compatible with my sense of values. I came here for the opportunities that it afforded me as a walk-on with no money, no anthropology program, no nothing. I came here for the opportunity to build what I thought is the right kind of program. And President Robinson and Provost Dorr said, as long as you bring your money, you're welcome here. And so I just kept bringing in the money. And they said, okay. They allowed me to do what I wanted to do, the kind of teaching I wanted to do, the kind of research I wanted to do, the kind of community engagement I felt responsible to do, the kind of inclusion of the public that I wanted to do. They didn't know that was off the chart in archaeology, and I didn't tell them. I wanted to see if it would work, and it did. It took a while. It was 8 years before I had any recurring money. 8 years of soft money. So what? I was doing what I liked. And I'd do it again in a heartbeat. And I stayed here because I wanted to stay here. My friends thought I had lost my mind. They all thought I was down at the University of Florida. And I had to tell them about West Florida. And they finally began to understand it. I know that everyone in this room loves and has a commitment to this institution. And I am proud of you for all that you do and all you have accomplished, despite these incredibly difficult times that have been oppressive to us. No matter what is going around us, no matter the forces and the winds that blow on us really hard, we find a way to succeed. Our students and providing a higher education is a noble cause. It is. We do transform lives. Don't forget that. How different they are when they come out. How different their lives are when they finish. How many better choices they have. They are not doomed to only having a high school education. They are better. and we do it, you do it. We must remain focused on that no matter what. And let me be perfectly clear. I am keenly aware that there are different points of view. Starting now, I am going to begin to go across this campus and the other campuses that we have, Fort Walton Beach, downtown, military. And I am going to listen to faculty. I am going to ask them, what are their concerns? What are their suggestions? What are their issues? And I promise I will do what I can to remedy it. The provost and I are going to meet with every one of the 35 departments that we have. And we're going to be happy to listen. I'll have no agenda. But I will answer every question if I can. And I will remedy their concerns to the best of my ability. And so will Provost Saunders. I'm going to have monthly faculty drop-ins for coffee and great treats, because I have a sweet tooth. Over in the library, in the great good place. What better place to do than in the library? I don't know, Friday afternoon, Thursday, whatever. Drop in, talk to me on neutral turf, not my office and not your department. I'm also going to have my open office hours again, once a month. Come in, tell me what's on your mind. The last thing I'm going to do is I'm going to drop in. My brother Alan Bentz is a great advocate of walking the halls, as he calls it. When he was Speaker of the House, he used to just walk the hall and drop in and say, well, hello, Representative so-and-so. How are you doing today? What's on your mind? And they would just, oh, my God, you know, the Speaker's in here, and it's very authoritarian place. And he would talk to him. He would talk to the custodians. He would talk to the sergeant-at-arms. He would ask him how their kids are. I think that's good advice. And I'm going to start dropping in. So don't be nervous. I do not have an agenda. I'm not here to tell you something bad that I didn't want to put in writing. Okay? All right. I'm not going to have an agenda. I want to hear you. And so does the provost. Now, that's the broader context of today. Now, let's go to our successes. We have, as a university, created plans, the strategic plan, the academic master plan, and the campus master plan. You'll hear more about these as we move through these topics. Another thing that we have done is we've had university recognitions. Forbes, this is our third year for being one of America's top colleges. That's what the F is for. The Princeton Review, right. This is an academic institution, and F is a bad grade. It also means a University of Florida, but here it means Forbes. Rankings. Sorry. I should have put Forbes. Now, on the Princeton Review, this is our 11th straight year as a best Southeastern college. Remember the times. Remember the context. We've been named a top military-friendly school by GI Jobs since 2008. The Chronicle of Higher Education, Great Colleges to Work For, it's our fourth year. Great colleges to work for during the worst possible times. We found a way to make it work, and they know it. A first is best for vets. That's best by the Military Times, and it goes to all the servicemen and their families. These are not easy. You can't apply for them. You just have to be picked by them. So when someone asks you about UWF and how does it stand in the country, this is one of the ways that it is measured. Now, let's talk about some programs. First of all, programs, some are ranked. Not all have a ranking. Anthropology, my field, does not have a ranking. I wish it did, but it doesn't. But engineering does. And engineering is ranked number 5 top online engineering colleges. Public health, same thing. Legal studies, number 24 as the best bachelor's in legal studies program in the country. That is not easy in these times. Graduate school, listed as best education graduate school for 13-14. Remember what we had to do in 13-14 just to survive. We didn't survive, we thrived. And that's what I like about you the best, is that you do find a way. I remember mowing my grass, crying my eyes out, thinking I gotta find another way to make it work, and I did. And you did. And that's what we share at this institution. And don't forget it, because it's easy to forget. Program distinctions, those that are accredited. Of the programs that we have, that can be accredited, that have accredited accreditation process, 73% are accredited. And 13% are on the way. That's 86%. You know what accreditation means? It means money. We put our money to that for quality programs. It means student-faculty ratios. It means all kinds of things that you have to do to get accredited. And you also have to keep it up because they come back and look at you again and say, are you still doing it? Did you do what you said you were going to do, or did you not? I think that's very impressive. Clinical lab sciences, nursing, MSN was just accredited, and that was really tough. Nursing, it's only life and death. Who really takes care of you when you are sick? I know you say you're a doctor, but it's the nurses. And my brother came close to death this time last year with Guillain-Barré, and who did we talk to? Who was in there with him? Who was holding his hand? Who was monitoring him? It was his nurses. And we've got a terrific nursing program. Now, let's talk about our students. Up on the top left there is the public relations. Public relations is, you know, kind of like everywhere. It's kind of like very important. It is what people know about you. It's what is talked about you. It's what is put out there when you're not in the room and when you don't have any say-so. Our students won the Golden Image Award. 10 of them did. And they won the Grand All Golden Image Award from the Florida Public Relations Association for their rebranding of the burned down and rebuilt Imogene Theater in Milton. Now, who did that is very important. It is very important that we understand. Faculty did it. They led their students. They got in the car. They went down the road. They stayed in the hotels. Who knows how many to the room? And it is important, right? I used to sleep on box springs and somebody else slept on the mattress, but I was there. And that's what counted. Did I invite anybody to my ratty room? No. Did I go to theirs? Yes. That's the way it is. And we still do that. We still are doing that, and we're bringing them down the road, and we're showing them and training them to be what? Competitive. And how to win. Winning is everything in our culture, in every field. Nobody likes a loser, and we don't train losers. We show them how to win. Also, two of our engineering students, see the two students holding the rockets? They were second out of 20 the first time we even entered the competition in the NASA hybrid rocket competition. Also, it was sponsored by NASA Space, Florida Space Grant Consortium and the Florida Space Institute and the Northeast Florida Association of Rocketry. I just think that's really cool, shooting those rockets off. You know what rules the world. It's rockets. They're flying right now in the Middle East. Now, we also had 5 students on the upper left from the Hospitality, West Florida Health Occupation Students of America. They placed in the top three in the National Leadership Contest. This group received recognition for the Post Outstanding HOSA chapter for the same, also at the state, as well as the national level. Their advisor, Angela Hahn, I hope she's in the room. Please stand up. Let us thank you. If she's not, we're going to give her a hand. There she is right there. It's faculty like Angela that keep us, the administration, smiling, no matter what, that our trustees know are out there doing their thing as best as they can because they had the same opportunity I had. Go for it. That's what they told me. They don't tell you that at Research Ones. They tell you what to do, and you better do it. Here they say go for it, and the it is what you want to do. That's an incredible freedom that the faculty have here at this institution and always will. Now, the logistics team also continues to be a winner. This year they were fourth out of 16 teams across the country, and they have been fourth out of six for the last four or six for the past 7 years. They compete in something called the Logistics Case Competition, also known as Operation Stimulus. And Scott Keller, are you in the house? If you are, stand up. If not, we'll give you a hand anyway. It's incredible. Now, if you haven't had the opportunity to meet another piano protege that we have, James Matthews on the left there. James is also studies under our distinguished university professor, Dr. Hedy Solanki Rubar, and has recently competed in the American Protege International Piano and Strings Competition. He got an honorable mention, and he got to play in Carnegie Hall. I know that some of you have been to Carnegie Hall. Well, it is drop-dead impressive. I can't imagine being 20 years old and walking in there. Easton, maybe you can. Walking in there and having to sit down and play all by yourself. I would freeze up. I would turn into a little pile of something. It's just not, it's tough to perform like that on cue. But students like James and students like Easton can do it. He also was on the Ellen Show, and Ellen gave him everything, including the kitchen sink. And he has been a bit saved, not only by Chipola College for his first 2 years, but the University of West Florida for his final 2 years. He was homeless, and he doesn't like us to say that too much, but he can't be here today. But you know he was. He was sleeping in his practice room, and he got caught and got a lot of help from the professor who caught him. It was in Lakeland, it was Florida Southern. He got him into Chipola, and because Dr. Solanki, because she is with us and is known for her ability to shepherd and develop piano proteges, she said yes. We have helped him, but he has helped himself because he has persevered. He had every reason to quit, every reason to do drugs, every reason to drop out and be a nobody and say, music is not going to get me anywhere. But you know what? It's going to get him somewhere because we helped. He didn't have great grades. He has to study real hard, and he doesn't like it. But we, you know, you got to stay in school, man, and he does. So. Also, David Brinson, he's a grand champion of International Business Strategy Competition. He competed against 9 national and international teams, including Hong Kong and Alabama and Malaysia. And he won because how to successfully grow athletic footwear company as it produced and marketed branded private label shoes. Now, we all know how tennis shoes have changed in our lives, and they are very lucrative. And this young man won So this is the kind of things that our students are doing. I could go on, and I will not, but I want you to know that those are examples of the kind of people, students, that come to us and that we lift up. They are examples of our noble cause. Now, I want to talk about the faculty. We have six that received tenure this year. If you're here, stand up so we can recognize you. Dr. Jane Caffrey, Dr. Jason Ortegren, Dr. Lisa Van Warner, Dr. Kevin Krieger, Dr. Nancy Hastings, Dr. Lashmi Prayaga. All of those received tenure, and you know what that is. Tenure is something that is very, very special. So let's give them a hand. Now, promotions. Dr. Robin Blind, Dr. Iman El-Sheikh, Dr. Jocelyn Evans, Dr. Barbara Larson, Dr. Michelle Williams, Dr. Ishmael Mohebi, Dr. Diane Scott, Dr. John Todorovich, and Ms. Melissa Gonzalez. They were promoted, and they are deserving of our appreciation. And now we've got the highest something that a faculty can get. It's called the Distinguished University Professors. And there are three this year. Dr. Aid Amin from Math and Statistics, Dr. Athena Dupre of Communication Arts in the Center, and Dr. Bill Huth from Marketing and Economics. Let's give them a hand. To even qualify for this, you have to be a full professor, and many people never even get there, but they did. They also have to excel in teaching, scholarship, and creative projects, service, and contributions to UWF and UWF faculty colleagues. It's a 3-year period for the award, beginning in the fall semester, but for the rest of their careers, they hold that title of Distinguished University Professor at UWF. Now let's talk about contracts and grants. As you know, our main mission is teaching. It is community service. Research is something that we do that we do anyway. You hardly can keep a faculty member from doing research. It's how we got our PhD. It's why we were interested in the field to begin with. It's usually why we're here, because we like to generate new knowledge. And at the end of the day, that is what faculty do. We create new information from old. Pardon my lapse into anthropology, but we have the same brain as Neanderthal did, okay? It's no bigger, no bigger. The only difference is information. Information that humans have generated by experiments, by thinking, by connecting the dots differently, by developing technology that helps us generate new information. And this is how you do it. You get funding for research. Steve Cass, his topic research grant was for something very interesting: how to develop models of student achievement for hard to measure course content areas, physical education, art, and music in K-12. Now, this is a measurement-obsessed period of time that we're in, all right? Everything gets measured. How do you measure art? How do you measure advancement in music? That's what he's doing. Steve, I think you're in the house. Stand up. That's right. And then we have our old hand, Dick Snyder. Dick Snyder he kind of runs to difficult times in our environment. And this time, he, like the oil spill and the hurricane and the floods, he is works in environmental bioremediation. And he got this grant was with FSU, and it was to review Gulf Coast connectivity in the Gulf of Mexico. Carl Thompson, I know you're in the house. you partnered with Santa Rosa County School Board to conduct early reading intervention project using UWF students to collect data and analyze K through five student reading achievement data, take that analysis to the school district officials, and help the teachers do it better. There is nothing, I think, more important in our society than reading. Reading. Most of our parents, of us in this room, had parents or somebody who read to us. Before we could read, before we could understand all the words, we just looked at the pictures and listened to what they were talking. My brother has little grandchildren right now, and I can see him picking up on that. I can see him reaching for books. But what about those families and those kids that think school is silly, you need to go to work, reading's not important, no books in the house? That's what reading opens up. And we have to do it better. We know reading at grade level is super important. And I will tell you right now that at the third grade, if students do not perform at the third grade level, that's the statistic, how many don't, of prison beds they build. Third grade reading, prison beds. That's how they figure out how many we'll need by the time they're 16. So, we're helping. We don't just focus on the university. We focus on K through 12. To try to get them better so that we can have them, they'll succeed with us and have a better life. Now, then there's a really special grant. The National NIH means the National Institute of Health. They only give money to the big research ones. I don't know if we've ever had an NIH grant before, but we have one now, and it's for a whole bunch of money, almost $1 million. And if Karen Mollick and Mike Huggins are in the room, please stand up. I know Mike. That's right. As many of you know, Mike is an alum. He's from Bonner Fae, which is close to where I grew up. And he's worked his way up, and now he's the new dean of the new college of science, engineering, and health. But let me tell you what this grant is for. That's even more UWF. This grant is to expand a model program, which we participated in, and to increase the number of underrepresented students in a biomedical-related graduate program. That graduate program aims to increase retention, academic performance, degree attainment, and graduate school matriculation among underrepresented STEM minority students at UWF. You don't get better than that. That's lifting them up to the top. An MD, a PhD in medicine for minority, I would say that's a ticket to success. And that's what that grant does. And Mike, I want to thank you and your colleague for bringing that to UWF. Thank you very much. Remember, they don't have to do this. Now, we have Judy's tongue twister. We have Dr. Ramachandran. He got $93,000 for sustaining energy systems for undergraduate students in engineering. Engineering. Is he in the house? Sure. I can't tell. Well, let's give her a hand anyway. Right. George Stewart partnered with Tulane University to promote and train emerging K through 12 scholars. Again, reaching down to K through 12 to help lift them up so that they can be more likely to succeed in college. Dr. Karen Rasmussen, another old warhorse like me and George, to impact teacher training and professional development. What is everybody crying about? Where are the teachers? All of a sudden, we don't have any teachers, and again. And the superintendents are coming to us and ringing the bell, and why don't you produce more? Well, we're doing this. So we've got now grants that help us produce more teachers and train them in what they need. Bob Markowitz, tuition support for teacher training. Also, the UWF centers and institutes provided and were awarded 41% of all of our research. So, we do it. Don't ever let anybody say we don't do research. National level, local level, state level, regional level, we do it at all levels. Yeah. How about our staff? Keith King, he's an employee of the year. He's in the Aspire office. He has been a number cruncher you can rely on. How many of this and how many of that and how many of that? Is Keith in the house? He needs another hand because he's really good. He's probably crunching numbers. And then we have Betsy Bowers. Betsy, I know you're in the house. Stand up a minute. Let everybody see our auditor. That's right. Betsy got the prestigious Marion Vickers Award this year, and I'm here to tell you people come to pick her brains, and they ask her to come to their campuses and review what they're doing. And Betsy keeps us, what would I say? Betsy keeps us on track. That's a good way. Right. She audits everybody, then she audits us again, and then she tells us what she's going to do the next time, and that's fine. Because I want to be audited, because I don't mind being responsible for other people's money. We have millions of dollars of taxpayers' money and private money coming in, and we have to keep it all straight. I don't even know how many accounts we have, hundreds and hundreds of them, all that we have a responsibility for, even when the people who gave us the money are dead. Same thing, locked in stone, Betsy makes sure we do what we're supposed to do. Now, let's talk about our academic master plan. We got some new leaders on board. Provost Saunders, I say we, it's really Provost Saunders. When she came on board, she took that academic visioning plan that we started and developed back in, 2009 or so, and picked it up and dusted it off and said, let's go. And so what she has done is she has reorganized our academic colleges. And now we have these four colleges. So, she hired new deans, and I would like the new deans to stand up and be recognized if you're in the room. We have Dr. Stephen Brown, College of Arts and Science, College of Arts, Social Sciences, and Humanities. It'll be a while before I quit saying Arts and Sciences. It was just too big. Now we have Dr. William Crawley. He is the Dean, College of Education and Professional Studies. Welcome aboard. All right, Mike, you got to stand up again. He's a new Dean of Science, Engineering, and Health. And then we have our old friend Greg Lanier. Greg is now Dean of University College, which I'll get into later. University College is a new college. We didn't have it before. And it is focused specifically on high-impact practices for our students, such as advising. Greg is now the advising czar. He can advise. It's tough love. It's gentle love, but it is advising. Also retention, that's only crucial, and internships and all the other kinds of things that in the college, in academic affairs, that aren't directly teaching. They support the students and support the teaching is done. The provost believes this structure will position us to be successful in keeping student success as our focus. Let's give the provost a hand. Martha Saunders, stand up. She came here, put her hands on the steering wheel, and she has not looked back. And we are so thankful for it, Martha. We do appreciate it. Now, let's talk about some university initiatives that were accomplished this year. First of all, the Bog Metric Improvement Plan. We put it on a little flyer size. And we are handing it out to anybody who will take one. And this is our improvement plan. I'll get into it a little bit later, but it is what we must do to get our money back this year. Another thing, the Strategic Enrollment Plan by Joffrey Gaiman. Joffrey, stand up. Right. Right. Strategic Enrollment Plan. We have never had one. We have got one. And it is not like the old thing we used to do. Joffrey knows how to do it, and she's making us better. And we're better off because of it. Now, she's pulled her last hair out half the time, but it is not easy to make change. And there are differing points of view. Remember that. In this context that we are living in, where we're wanted, everyone wants us to become a home of only the academic talented. We have to be careful who we bring in now. They are very important to our bottom line. And that's what's going on. Now, strategic retention plan. Is Patrice Moore in the house? Well, yes. Millions of dollars ride on what these people do, and Patrice has had to develop a plan that the freshmen that Dr. Gaiman brings in, they stay until their sophomore year and beyond. If they can stay to their sophomore year, they're usually going to finish. She's got one. It's well thought out. And then we have a diversity and inclusion plan. And Dr. LaDuff, would you stand up and let us thank you for it? These are pics of our provost, and they are excellent. Now, we've also completed the SACS accreditation self-study. Is Dottie Monier in the house? She might be. Ah, she is. Dottie, thank you. We are on track, on course for reaffirmation, and I'll do some details on that in a little while. We also developed our focus on something called the QEP. For SACS reaffirmation, you have to have one. You got to have something new that's important, that you spend your money on, and you develop that your university needs. What they picked, meaning Academic Affairs and Dr. Minear, have picked professional readiness, and in particular, communication. You know how important it is to communicate. It is only essential. If you can't talk, if you can't write, if you can't express yourself, you are dead in the water before you even start. You won't even get the job. You probably won't even get the interview. But if you can speak, if you can talk to somebody, if you can tell them what's on your mind and make points and go back and forth, written as well as verbal, as well as nonverbal communication, which I do too much of, then you're going to be all right. You got a chance. And that's all we ask of anything in life is a chance. Also, I want to recognize Matt Schwartz. Matt, are you in the house? Anyway, he's in charge of the QEP. And now we come to our beloved banner. For those of you who don't know, it is a student information system. That's in my kind of language. That means that we can look up data on our students. Students can look up their own data. They register through this program. All the student records are on that program. And of course, we've been on another program for 47 years. And now we have switched. It is live. It is not easy. It wasn't cheap. Remember the context. The worst of financial times. They had to have an extra year because we wanted to do it right. It's live and it's working. And Mike Diekman, you stand up. We're going to give you a hand for doing it. Thank you. So now, let's talk about what we've been able to do this past year for our faculty and staff. First of all, we were able to spend over $165,000 in faculty promotions. We don't get any money for that. It comes out of our hide. When I got promoted, and actually when Provost Saunders was here and got promoted, we had to wait for the raise. I think I waited 2 years. But I took the promotion anyway because I figured the money would come. And it did. So, but this year, we were able to squeeze it out like we have every year since. Now, the $1,000 to $1,400 raise came from the state legislature this year. We were able to add a $500 bonus to that. And also the state, is this right? Yes, then the state provided, gave us the money for a $600 bonus to 35% of our faculty and staff. And that was difficult. But we did it, and the state did it, and we got it distributed. And because I know what you've been doing, and I know the circumstances under which you have been doing it, I thought, let's give you what I can. And we squeezed 3.8% of your salary, bottom of 1,000, top of 3,800, and said, I can give you this bonus with a promise that when we are in the performance funding money, I will take that 3.8% and I will make it a permanent raise to everybody, because I know what you've been doing. God knows I wish I could give you a raise now, but I can't. This is what I can do. So it has been distributed. It is under discussion with the faculty union, but we're in discussions. Also, the Affordable Health Care Act, we have been able to offer that to our employees. Now, let's talk about the legislature. Janice Gill, are you in the room? All right, wave your hand. Janice, stand. Wave your hand back there. Everybody turn around and look at Janice. All right? Janice Gilley is the best government affairs lobbyist that exists for any state university. I want to say in the country, but I know in this state. She has to face the music all the time. She has to explain where West Florida is. She has to explain our mission. She has to explain our strengths. She has to compete with the University of Florida's 10 lobbyists. She has to compete with Florida State and its incredible political connections. It has to compete with Miami. And you know what? We do. It's because she's smart, she's dedicated, and she loves this university. And she knows everybody's wife and husband's name, when they need a secretary, when they need a babysitter, when they need an apartment. She is a facilitator. And that kind of Northwest Florida country real attitude to people is us. It is us. It doesn't matter to me when a little old lady at the grocery store can't reach something up high. I reach up and get it for her, and so do you. It doesn't matter if we are unsure about our next year's base budget. We're doing what we can, and that's all we can do. And we'll reach out and help somebody when we don't have to. We've all written checks to students who couldn't pay the rent. I bought students their first set of clothes, real clothes. And I would do it again in a minute. That is what we do. And that's why I love this institution, and I know that you do too. Now, one of the things I want to stress in this is that when you get money from the legislature that is recurring, that means they say they're going to give it to you every year forever. Well, that's not really true. They give it to you, and it's recurring, and everybody thinks that you're rich. Well, they give it to you for a certain reason. It's all what we call restricted. And the second thing is they could take it away from you in year two. It's vulnerable in year two. So everywhere you see the word maintain, that's what we got the year before, and Janice managed to keep it. Keep it. So now it is recurring. And we can hire faculty on it. We can put people in various ways on it, with confidence that the money will not disappear next year or the next year. Another thing that we did is we stressed that we are protecting employee benefits. You know and I know that everybody's looking at our benefits in the legislature to target. They already took 3%, making us pay 3% into our retirement plans. Just boom, do it. The next thing is who knows what. What Janice is doing is wrapping her arms around your benefits and saying, don't you dare touch them, you got to go through me. If you need a babysitter, you're not going to get one. That's right. If you need an apartment, they're all full. If you need a favor, I'm not going to do it. She doesn't say it that way, but they know that. They know it. And she's got her arms wrapped tightly around them, and so far, so good. They'll look at them next year, and she'll wrap them around again. That's how it works in Tallahassee. Now, we protected funds for the doctorate of physical therapy, the doctorate of nursing practitioners, the complete Florida program, and certificates in cybersecurity. Those are solid now. We can build the programs. Now we got new funding, which is most of it is recurring, and for mechanical engineering and for physician's assistants, all right? So now we get the plan and hold on to that money. Next year, Janice protects it in the legislature, and then we can actually really hire people. All right? That's the way it works. Now, we've had down at the very bottom is something called Florida Virtual Campus that probably none of us have ever heard of before. But what it is because Dr. Pam Northrup is so good, and that Innovation Institute is so flexible, and she has such a good track record, we were handed this program by a very senior legislator because they know when they give us something, we will be efficient with it and it will work. All right? $26 million. All right? Now, what this is for is for K through 20, everybody taking an online course or program, this is a support system for them, the online libraries, advising, the communication that they have to do. It's a mess, and they've got their arms wrapped around it, and they're straightening it out, and it is very hard. Pam, are you in the house? There she is. Stand up, Pam. Stand up. And Pam is a lot like me. She could go anywhere she wants, but you know what? She loves this place. And she loves it because we turn her loose. We turn her loose and say, go get them, girl. Tell me what you need. The provost created a whole institute that wraps around Pam Northrup's attitude to bring it on. It's not too big. We'll figure it out, and we'll be efficient. And that pays off. In the meetings in Tallahassee in the legislature, when they have problems, they'll pick up the phone and say, are you interested? That's a big number. So, also, thankfully, finally, Janice was able to wiggle her way onto the PICO list. And our Wet Sciences building, building 58, is going to be renovated. And it's got $11 million to plan. Mike Huggins is in heaven. They're worrying about what they can get. It'll take 2 or 3 years. Parking will be a mess. Go ahead and complain. Chip is back there, and he'll listen. That's right. Right. But we need that building so bad, it is a toxic building. People get sick in that building, and not anymore. And they figured out a way, and it's not a traditional way, but we found a way to renovate it, not replace it, to make it bigger only by connecting the two buildings, call it an annex. All those things take figuring out, and that's what we do in Tallahassee. So I just want you to know that this money here is restricted. It's for a specific purpose. The days of getting unrestricted money are over. The new programs that these funds will pay for, cybersecurity, specialization at the bachelor's and the master's level. I mean, you know, hacking the Home Depot. 59 million people lost their credit card info because of cyber hacking. So we're getting into it. It's big. It's huge. The line is long, and it's very timely. The next thing, in intelligence analysis, information security management, and cybersecurity. Now, as Pam, and Pam, I may have this wrong because it's not in my notes and they don't like me to go off script, but I think these certificates are what they call stackable. You get one, you get another, you get the third one, you get a degree. And that's smart, because these certificates help people get promotions, help people get a job, help people get it eventually. They can do it all at once if they want to. But these are very popular, and it's a very popular way. Now, another thing that we have is the Florida I want to say one more thing about Florida Virtual Campus. You remember last year we told you about something called Complete College? There are 2.2 million people in Florida with some college and no degree. Well, that's going fine. And what it does is it aligns well with, Pam did that too, it aligns well with the Florida Virtual Campus. It supports it as well as what we're doing with Complete Florida. So it's a real nice mix. So, now, partnerships. As you know, most of us who started from scratch, without the silver spoon in our mouth, who are some version of a walk-on, the way we start is often by making partnerships. You're the junior partner, you do all the work, you get none of the credit. That's all right, you're working. Then you become an equal partner, then hopefully you become a senior partner. Partnerships is the way the University of West Florida grows and develops. For the DNP, Doctor of Physical Therapy, we're partnering with the University of South Florida. They are overloaded to capacity. They got a waiting list of 1,000, and we're not taking a one of them. We're expanding their program here for our students. Go down there for 1 year, come back for 2 years, they have a doctorate. Now, the Doctor of Nursing Practice, which is becoming increasingly popular and has a great future, they make a lot of money, we are partnering with the University of Florida. And George Stewart, are you in the house? He's the one that did that. Give him a hand. Both of those. Now, many of you have heard about our Stetson Law Degree Partnership, 3 years here, 3 years there. They go to school for 6 years instead of seven. They get lots of scholarships when they go there, and that's another partnership. The Confucius Institute, Kuian Li, our Chinese math professor, now in charge of the Confucius Institute. It's a wonderful outreach, a wonderful honor to be in a Confucius Institute. They bring their own money. They want us to know about their language and culture, because they know they have been inward-looking, now they are outward-looking. Nobody's looking except they're afraid of China or want the market, but what about their culture? What about their values? What about their way of life? That's what this is all about. And in the picture here is me and President Ed Meadows. He signed into our partnership program that transfers, eases the transfers from their graduates from their institution to ours. Now, here's the Innovation Institute. We had the grand opening. They finally had time to have a grand opening, and it was hard because they're too busy. And I want just to tick off some of the projects that they are working on. I've already told you about Complete College, told you about Florida Virtual Campus. Now, the Center for Cybersecurity, they have Coder Dojo for kids, coding, Coder. They also have a Cyberthon, which is cyber stuff, hacking and non-hacking, for middle and high school. And they also have the National Flight Academy aviation classrooms. They do all of that. That is an effort to reach down into K through 12 in STEM, in workforce-related programs. These and other programs, such as Illumina Foundation Prior Learning Assessment, also focusing on workforce needs, industry development right here in Northwest Florida, and that's what we need to do. This slide is a great representation of our great fundraising last year. The photo is of the Lewis Bear family. And as being chairman of our board, he has honored us with a gift. They have honored us with a gift from their family foundation. I've heard Lewis say this many times, but I want you to know that the chairman of your board of trustees really believes this. Our family believes that there are no great cities without great universities. We hope to be able to make this university grow to meet the needs of the 21st century job market, not only for today, but of tomorrow. He gives up his time, he gives up his treasure, and he gives us his love and concern. That's a wonderful gift. Thank you so much. And then we have the young Brendan Kelly, up from the ranks, interim vice president for advancement. And Brendan raised more than he had to. He had a goal of $3.5 million. He raised $4.2 million. 4.2, the most we've raised, I think, in forever in 1 year. And I want you, Brendan, I want Martha Lee Blodgett, I want your advancement team to stand up, and we're going to thank you. That's right. Folks, this is real money. This is real money. This has never happened to us like this. And it's happening now because we're telling our story, we're getting out there, and we're letting them see us, they're seeing you, they're knowing what you're doing. Now, another thing that we've got is a new facility. Downtown in on our historic campus, we have the Voices of Pensacola, which is brought to us and funded by the Gulf Power Company. It is in what is known as the Beacon Building across from Seville Quarter, and it is beautiful, as you can see. But the anthropologist in me comes out again. Pensacola is an old, ancient city, the oldest city in the United States. I don't care what St. Augustine says. All right? But what because we are old, we have had scores of ethnicities come into Pensacola and live, make a living, live their lives. Many of them are gone. We used to have Little Norway over where City Hall is now. Everybody forgot about that except the historians and archaeologists. But there are also living, many ethnicities. This center is to focus on the different ethnic groups that have been in Pensacola. It is there for research. The archives are there. It is for events. They have no place to go. It is open to everybody. And it also is a place to give programs, to think, and to learn. All right. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is Eastgate. This is under development. It's out at the East Gate, and it is under construction. I want to remind you, not one nickel of our money is going into this. We are getting paid for the land, and a percentage of their business comes to UWF to do whatever we want to. It comes through Business Enterprises, Inc., and it comes to the University of West Florida. It will be open in the spring, late spring or summer. Now, athletics. We have the men's national tennis national championship. And the coach is in the room. Coach, stand up. There you are. Right. Coach Racine. I was there, and it was brutal, and they won. We won 8 Gulf South National Championship Conference titles, 79 titles, and it's the most in anybody has. It's the most in our history. Also, in the swimming and diving, we wound up 23rd. There's a picture I have of the men's tennis team, the winning men's tennis team, and Dr. Bailey and I acting kind of happy. Then this is the women's swimming and diving team, first year out of the box. They're 23rd in the country at the end of the season. I mean, you don't get better than that. So we are contenders on the athletic field, too. Now let's talk a little bit about football. Football, we've had Coach Shenick, stand up. There you go. Right. The coach came to us, and we had nothing. And we still don't have much. But we are getting there. He held a camp, a football camp, for high school juniors and seniors. He had 50 RSVPs, and he was worried. That's not enough, Judy. That's just not enough. Even if we get 100, that's not enough. 230-plus showed up. It was huge. It was big. They came from all over the country. And it was an absolute success. He had coaches from high schools as well as a Super Bowl champ, Fred Robbins, who is from Pensacola. And on the right is the Maritime Park. It is not ours. It is theirs. We're going to play there for a while. We finally finalized the contract, and we are so happy. Now, I know that there are concerns about how we're paying for football. I know there are. And I want to tell you, and I will show you if you want to be shown, that football is being paid for through student fees. Got it? A committee that is half students, half faculty, staff, met and decided every year what they want to do with their athletic fee money that they have to pay. X number of dollars for a semester hour. And they get to decide. Okay. So they decided they wanted football. And we found out even Janice couldn't get money for football in Tallahassee. So we gave up knocking on that door. Nobody's going to help us. So the students said, all right, we're going to put our money aside for football, Pretty soon we'll be able to hire a coach. Then we'll be able to hire assistant coaches. Then we'll be able to, they got a plan. They had like 19,000 plans, and they finally found one that would work. Couldn't have a stadium. It's okay. We'll play downtown for a while. This is the way we get it done. We find a way. And all the performers and all the plans are not going to work. They're going to be different. You're gonna have to go with how it flows. So, we had our first major gift for football, $250,000 from the Jane and John Burr family, and we got it the other day, and they're happy as they can be to be the first big giver to football. But it's a combination of student fees, private money. That's paying for football. Now, I want you to know that in just 1 year, we have done all of this. Imagine what we've done since 2008 when the financial world blew up. That's important for you to remember, the context. The pressure of freezes on new revenue, the recession and the metrics, they are not going to define us. We are going to define us. We pulled together, nobody helped us, and we did it ourselves with what we had. That's important. That's why I love this institution, and that's why you love it too. We can gripe and complain about nobody cares, we don't have any money, and they don't even know what time it is in Pensacola, but we do it anyway. That's why we stay. That's why my brother stayed in Panama City, because he could make a difference there. I stayed here just like you did, because you have freedom to do what you want, and you can make a difference. So, 2014-15, more challenges. It's getting worse. But what's new? It's going to get worse. I don't know when it'll get better. I've quit trying to predict when it's going to get better. Now they're restricting what we can bond. No more bonding, thank you very much. A bond is like a big loan at low interest. Can't do that anymore without the permission from everyone in the world in Tallahassee, and we're not going to get it. Can't bond it, so that means we can't build it. Okay. Also, public-private partnerships. Everybody says that's the way you got to go. What are they doing? They're strangling them. They're making them harder to get. Another thing, they're putting more and more of our base funding at risk in the performance funding metrics model. Okay, those are the challenges. That's how we're going to deal with next year. So, we will find ways to succeed. No one said it was easy, and by gosh, it's not. Let's look at our new class. We've got 12,800 plus students. We've got 1,400 plus first time in college. 24.3% diverse, 37% from outside the region of our freshmen. 57% of those are living on campus. And our residence halls are 92% full. Not bad, not bad. Argo Arrival used to be called Welcome Week. Argo Arrival, they had a good time. At the Beach Bash, lower right, Sandcastle, they ran out of box lunches after 500. The weather was perfect. And then they ran out of water after 1,500 bottles, and they didn't go home. The buses were full, they stayed there and played, and they had a really good time. So, they're having a wonderful time. Now, let's talk about the metrics. This is how the metric works. There are winners and losers. Since 2013, we've had the first three. The first three are bachelor's employed, the percent of bachelor's employed, the undergraduate employed in Florida, and the average cost. Those have been on the radar screen for three. They put $20 million new dollars in that pot, and we got some. In 2013, same year, the BOG began, Board of Governors, began to discuss adding more metrics. And they talked with the provost, and they had problems, and they talked with the provost, and then the Board of Governors decided what they would be. And what they're going to be, no, what they are, in January of last year, they told us what they would be. Those metrics are for every state university in the state of Florida, as you well know. Cost of undergraduate degree, six-year graduation rate, retention rate, academic progress, bachelor's degrees awarded in STEM, and graduate degrees awarded in STEM, access rate, what's your Pell Grant ratio? And then there were graduate degrees in areas of strategic emphasis and so on. The BOG picked one, we picked one, and this is where we were, on the bottom. There is a punitive aspect to the system. And if you are below 26 points, you get your base money held up. We lost $3.8 million. It's still in the Treasury in Tallahassee. Actually, it's in the Board of Governors. And we, although they did say you can have an improvement plan. And if you get your money back, you have an improvement plan. That's what this is all about. So we focused on graduation rate, improving that. Retention rate and excess hours. We gave them a plan. The plan was accepted, and all we have to do is implement that plan. We're over halfway done with it. The BOG is holding a metrics workshop next month. We will be there, hoping to tweak some of those metrics so that they are a little bit more friendly to regional comprehensive institutions, of which they have four. We also made. What we have to do, we realized, is we have to tell our story to the Board of Governors. They have to know who we are. We need to get them familiar with us. We have an engagement plan. The trustees have one. We have one. When the Board of Governors came to town last week, a trustee and a student was paired up with a governor. They had coffee. They went out to dinner. They did whatever. They got to know them. And that's important, because they don't know us and we don't know them. Most of them have never been to Pensacola and probably never will again until they have to come. But while they're here, and then we go to their territory. I go, the provost and I and the chairman went on a goodwill tour, and we are going to meet all of the Board of Governors on their turf in the high-rise, glass, gleaming buildings of the very overlooking the yachts of the very rich. Hey, I'm comfortable there. It's an hour and a half plane ride away. So we've got to tell our story.